Thankful to be here this morning. Thankful for the privilege of being here. And as I told somebody yesterday, I'd rather have come and sat back here and listened to somebody else. But you know, this is not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And He changed. He's made a change in my life. I thought of Brother Dave said that. I made the statement several times about preachers needing preached to. And you know, sometimes that don't go over very good. But you know, we do. We haven't made it home yet. And we're on a journey. And we're in a warfare. And the weapons the devil's going about is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I'm not giving him praise or honor or anything at all. But you know, he's got a lot of my loved ones captive. And that upsets me. It bothers me. But they could get saved if he'd come to me. And I'd like to, with the help of the Lord, try to be obedient. I appreciate being asked to come. And I feel so unworthy and unable to do this and insufficient. How can we preach and describe the Word of God, just mere mortal men, something that will change people's destiny for all of eternity? It just baffles my mind that the Lord could use us like this and others, and I know that, but it's not about us. I thank God for His mercy, and I'd like to read this morning. Now, I try to be as careful as I can in this, and it worries me. I don't mean to sound defeated, but it worries me to be asked to preach. Because this is serious.
Amen.
And getting it right will determine people's eternal destiny. And they'll either face God in judgment and they'll get to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into joy, Lord." Or they'll hear those dreaded words, the worst sentence that's ever been, "To depart, I don't even know you." And it's going to happen. It's going to happen to multitudes. But I'd like to read in the book of John, first chapter there this morning, ask that you pray for us. And I'm going to begin reading the verse 19 of chapter 1 of John, St. John's Gospel. "And this is a record of John, which when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they ask him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I'm not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptize thou then, if thou be not that Christ or Elias, neither that prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latch I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Let us pray. Our eternal and loving Father in heaven, as we bow in reverence to you, and we bow humbly before you, and we come thanking you for this privilege of gathering here with this group of people, those that love and serve the Lord, and And Lord, we've been here in revivals and been here in service a few times. But Lord, it's about you, and it's you that makes a difference. It's about Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the only begotten of the Father. We thank you, Lord, that here late in time, surely on the very brink of eternity, we're able to come and to acknowledge you and fellowship with those that have obtained like precious faith. Would you bless again this morning in the service? Would you bring the things to our mind that you have brought and reminded us as we consider this and we studied in your word and looked there? But Lord, we're not able to declare this so great a message, greatest message ever known to man, salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. So would you help us this morning, guide and direct and deal with every heart that we'd honor and serve you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, and amen. I thought even as I considered now and I thank you, the ones that come and brother that called and told me about it yesterday, the meeting we had out there in the building, I thought, and even as we done that, and I appreciate the fellowship and all that, but even as we, I believe as we is leaving there, the Lord brought this to my mind. I'd studied and considered and thought. And I try not to do things on my own. I know if I do, I'll make a flop out of it. But when Jesus is in it, it'll affect, and it'll affect me too. And I thought, even as I think as I was pulling out or going back home, the Lord reminded me to tell him, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And I thought, is what it means to behold. Now maybe we think sometimes and about that, about behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And we think sometimes probably about just looking, and you look over things, and a lot of times we just kind of give it, what do you call it, a casual glance, whatever that would mean. Just kind of look and, oh yeah, go on. And you know, that's what the world looks at Jesus as. Just a casual glance and all those people there, and they you know, and they're a little different, and they just really don't know what life's about, and that's the way the world looks. But you and I have got a hold. If we're born again, we got a hold of the greatest thing that was ever known to mankind. I thought as I considered it, and I thought about it, the Lord reminded me. Sin came in. God created man in the beginning. You know, he never made us to die. He made us a living soul. And he breathed the breath of life upon us, and we became a living soul. And he never intended for us to die. But sin entered. And sin brought death with it. And it came, and that if you sin, you're going to die. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And it says that death reigned from Adam to Moses. You know, it was over us, and we couldn't do anything about it, and we couldn't escape it, and we couldn't get out of it. But in the fullness of God's time, he sent a law to give the knowledge of sin. He sent a law so that we could look into that. And I know it was to the Jews, to the chosen people. But we could look into that, and we'd be able to define right and wrong, and to be able to understand. And I thought even clear back to the beginning. There was a time that the two first sons there, Adam there, Cain and Abel. It doesn't spell it all out and tell us how they knew. But they brought a sacrifice to the Lord. And I'm sure that one of them was best, and we can look at different things about whether it was the blood or whether it was the best, but I believe it was the best he had. And he offered, and it was acceptable unto God. So it forever tells us God requires the best, and it takes that to please him. But death reigned, and we know that shortly death come in. Sin takes a terrible toll on people's lives. And when it gets a hold of people, people get lost and they get wrapped up in it, and they get in sin. Or sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And the wages of sin is death. But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have newness of life. And when we look to Him, and I thought even as we considered it and I was going home, I thought about it. You know, the thought that I got there as we considered there about reaching out to people and how the churches, we really need to be united, you know. And I know there's places that people don't go. They don't go, and why it's harder than pulling teeth to get them to go to some other church. But I tell you, that's not right. We're in this together to worship and to serve the true and living God, got redeemed. And if we can't get along here, how do we ever expect to make it to heaven? We're just plain not gonna make it, are we? But you know, we got to be redeemed, and I'm glad for the mercy and the grace of God. And when I thought about that and was mentioned here this morning about taking our sins away, and I thought, I remind again, we hear so many times, Brother Norman mentions it up there, Norman Taylor, a lot of you know. He mentions that, reminds us all the time. He said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. They're clear out of existence, and I thank God for that. I thank God for what Brother Dave said about it. He don't remember sins far as east is from the west. And it just has took care of the sin problem. Just as though they was never, ever committed. They're gone. And I thank God for that. But Jesus come once in the end of the world. He hath appeared, the Bible says, that He might put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He didn't come of His own will. He didn't come down here just on a trip. He came at the Father's will. And I thought even as He went to the cross and maybe jumping ahead and all that, but He said, I finished the work that You gave Me to do. I'm glad for the finished work of Calvary. I'm glad that God so loved the world. And I thought even as I considered it, looked at, and I thought, now I've told people before, don't matter that I told them, that don't carry much weight. But I've said before that it seems like that a lot of times that John 3:16 is probably overused, but you know, the more I used it, the more I wanted to use it. And the more I used it, the more I found in it. And the more I found in it, the better it helped me to walk in this present life. But I thank God, I've thought and I've used this going on down there, and I'm sure you probably could quote that, but the 17th verse, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's why we're here this morning. That's why we have eternal life. That's why we can sing with, and that we can just lift roll our heads back and sing Amazing Grace, and we know that we'll never get it defined. It's bigger than we can tell it. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, it's condemnation. And I thought even, and I thought of considering it and defining grace. I can't define it. I might tell you what it means. And you know probably as well as I do that it's, they say it's the unmerited love and favor of God towards man. But when I begin to think of it, there's a woman that we go to church with a lot, and she had a grandpa that lived a long time. He is way up in his 90s, and he had never prayed to God in his life, had no room for God at all. But her and her husband, they got a burden and really agonized because they'd got saved. And it changed her life. And just the thought of her grandpa going out way up in 90s and going out into eternity without God, without a hope in this world, it just bothered her. I wish, I would to God that we'd all get bothered with the lost and undone in our world. But I thought as that lady, they told us different times, and you know, they talked to him and people talked to him, and he never had no room for God in his life. But up late in his 90s, somewhere God got a hold of him. You think that when you hear testimonies like that, you think that I could describe grace? I can't do it. It's bigger than we can tell it. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't have any education. I don't have very much smarts at all. But I know Jesus in the pardon, forgiveness of sin, and the power of His resurrection. I know what He does when He comes into your lives and your hearts, and it's all right. I've thought as I look back, and I'm not trying to grade my own papers and give me all passing marks and that, but I've thought of the change in my life, and I've thought, now you know, it's easy when we come in this life to consider things and people we don't like too well, and people that might have done things that we didn't like too well, and you know, the old natural thing would be to figure out a way out there. I'll get him. But I'm glad, even as I consider my life and I think about it, you know, that's just going in my life. Now, I'm not telling you I've accomplished everything. I'm still, we're in warfare, but I thank God that He's put a love and the mercy and the grace of God. And I realized that it wasn't by my merits that I got saved. It was by the divine love and favor of God. Amen. Man, I had nothing to offer to God, but He had everything. And I realized my need, and I was lost and undone. I was without God, without a hope in this world. And God dealt with me, not because He's worthy, but because He loved me. You know, He first loved us, and He chose us. You know, when He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Amen. You and I are here on purpose for the Lord today. We're chosen in Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. And John was said there, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He was baptized, and there was big crowds on the riverbank, and they was there, and they was watching, and they was looking. And it said at that time, all men mused in their hearts where this was the Messiah. The promised Messiah was to come, and they was looking for Him. They wasn't looking for Him, a man wearing a leather girdle and eating locusts and wild honey like John was. But they wasn't looking for a man named Jesus would be a lowly carpenter either. And so they rejected. He came to His own, the Bible said, and His own, they rejected Him. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. That's you and me. We're children of Most High God. So we got adopted into the family of God. And we're redeemed and reconciled back to God that made us. Oh, I thank God for salvation. I thank Him for that adoption, that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. And He made us, gave us inheritance among the sanctified, redeemed us, made us children of the Most High God. And Jesus told us Himself, He said, "If you'll confess Me before men, I'll confess you before My Father which is in heaven." Can you imagine in that day? And I don't know what it's like, and you don't know. We haven't been there. I thought Brother Clarence Neal told us different times. He said, "I like to talk about heaven." He said, "I like to talk about it because," he said, I know as much about it as you do. I haven't been there and you haven't been there, but he'd like to talk about it. But I can only imagine what it's like to go before the Lord and appear to Him. And I figure I'll be shaking like a leaf as much as I know. Because going before the Lord of glory, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and the power and the holiness of that. And I believe I'll be shaken. But He said, "If you'll confess Me before men," He said, "I'll confess you before My Father which is in heaven." Could you imagine the Son of God that came down here, that raised the dead, that wasn't afraid to touch the lepers, that cleansed all manner of evil, of sin, and the forces of evil, and healed people, and even like the man that was laying by the pool there of Bethesda, nobody to help him. You and I was in that shape one day. We had nobody to help us, but Jesus came by and He made us whole in Him. But you know, could you imagine in that day of judgment there before the holy angels and the Father in heaven, Him looking and being there at the right hand of God, and Him turning, "Father, this is one of Mine. Let her in." I believe it'll be that plain. I believe He'll tell us. I believe He'll say it in that day, and then it goes on and says that He'll confess us before the angels. You know what I get out of that? I'm not trying to rewrite the Bible. I believe He'll tell all heaven you made it, that you wasn't ashamed of Him here in this life, that you wasn't ashamed to bear the reproach of the cross, that the world could point at the finger at you and call you whatever they wanted to and make fun of you and all these things. But you know, all those things, they have no reward. And there is there's a record being kept. I thought of it, you know, when I was growing up, my dad bought corn and we fed that and went across the ferry at Ravenswood when it was running and around by Pomeroy when at the bridge and all that. But you know, we got acquainted. We bought corn off of Dad, did a man there, and I was still home, and we went. But I thought there was a church over there and across on the other side of the river back here some miles. And there's a man we bought corn and off of, and he was an ungodly man. But you know, it was that place was there on his farm. He lived in town, and he went out there and had a dairy there, and he went out there. But he got to talking about that one day we was there. Oh, he spoke awful slighty things about those people. Oh, he said they about them getting happy and holy rollers and all those things. And I thought, you know, you don't like to be around people like that. You know, talking about God's people, and I never was there in church. But you know what happened? He made fun of them for a while. He might have in this life and might have thought there's nothing. But you know, some few months or I don't know how long now later, he was going out to his farm one day and he wrecked his truck. And there on the side of the road, he was pinned in that truck and strangled to death in his own blood. God's got a way of bringing people down. I'm not saying that he deserved it. But I tell you, it's dangerous to say things against God's people. It's serious. I tell you, God doesn't take it lightly. But I thank God that in Christ Jesus our Lord, we're more than conquerors. But the Bible says, and try to go on and not be long-winded about it. My wife says I like to talk. I tell her I get to talk to people. And I said, I just couldn't get away from them. I said, boy, they like to talk to you. Yeah, I know who. Some of you can relate to that. But probably. But you know, we get into this thing. It's the greatest thing. And it's like a brother said, we could talk all day about what the Lord has done. He picked us from death and hell and gave us life in Christ Jesus the Lord. Wiped our sins away. Took them clear out of existence. Gave us an inheritance among the sanctified. And Jesus promised in His Word. He said, he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and have set my Father in His throne. We're more than conquerors, aren't we? We're on the winning side. Don't have a thing to be downhearted and discouraged about. Oh, we laugh about things in this life. And you know, I try not to get down. Oh, things get to me, and sometimes you just kind of got to fake it, I guess. But my kids, the girls especially, they pick on me. Oh, Dad just thinks himself happy. I do. I think myself blessed and happy in the Lord because He saved me and He redeemed me and reconciled back to me that which was lost in Adam was regained in Christ Jesus. And now I can talk to heaven. I can approach unto the throne of grace, even told us in His Word caused to be wrote, said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And where do we find that? In Christ Jesus the Lord. And in the power of His mind. Oh, I thank God for Jesus. I thank Him for that. You know, He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. But He's there today at the right hand of God to make intercession for you and for me. Every burden you have, every heartache, every sorrow that you that touches your life down here, you have a great high priest who is touched by the feeling of your infirmities. He's there to present your petition before our Heavenly Father. And I thank God for that. We've got access to the greatest thing that's ever been known to man. I thought about to mention there, and I thought even as before I come, I considered it. You know, we think about the birth of Christ. We think about the different great things, and it was one of the greatest that ever was. But when he laid his life down to ransom for me, and when he that knew no sin took my sins upon himself and took it to his cross and took it out of the way, that's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. He opened the door of mercy, of salvation, to all whosoever would could come and could drink of the water of life freely and live, obtain eternal redemption. And I'm not talking about redemption, oh, you just go out and do whatever you want to. Know. It'll make you want to live holy in this present life. Jesus said, he instructed us, he said, strive to enter in, because he said, many will try and not be able. It's up to us. But we can make the city. We can make that eternal home. And I'm looking forward to going. But you know, I visualize, I think about that. I try to consider it. I think about what a change must take place. And now I don't mean to be morbid. I know there's a preacher friend of mine that we talked about this sometime. And I don't know if somebody asked a question or how it come up. But anyway, if you ever think about dying, going home. And I said, yes, I do. I think about it a lot. I wonder what happens when we leave this life and when this mortal is put on immortality. And when the forces of this old decaying body is gone, and we wing our way toward that heavenly home, I wonder what transpires. And I think about the other brother said, no, he said, I don't. He said, it's sad, it's morbid to think of dying. I tell you, I don't look at dying as sad in that respect. Now, I get upset when at funerals, and I have a hard time getting through them. Seems so final. And most people are not ready, and most people sitting in the congregation are not prepared. And we just have, by the help of the Lord, to preach a message of salvation, and knowing that it won't go over good, but we still got to declare it. Because I do not want to offend my Savior. And I try to mind him. But you know, we're going home one of these days, and I kind of look forward to it. Brother told me here that's a little older than me. He told me here when he was about 70, he said, my warranty's run out. I'm on borrowed time now. Well, I've been on borrowed time, but we all have for a long time. Just by the mercy and the grace of God, we've been allowed to continue. And here this Sunday morning, we could meet in the house of the Lord. And we could call upon the name of our God. And we could honor him. And we could feel, John said, it was revealed to him, on whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining. He said, that's him. The man that called him to preach. You know who John was? He was the one that was there in his mother's womb when Mary entered into the house of Elizabeth, and that baby in the womb, it leaped when it heard her voice. And she spoke about, how's this that the mother of my Lord would come and visit me? But John said, that's him. I knew him not. But he said, he that sent me told me that's who it would be, and I'd know him. I thank God. They tried to talk to John about it. They tried to promote him. I believe it and say it like this. They tried to promote him to a prophet or someone that was foretold. No, he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, he told them that. I'm not he. When they talked about him, he said, they told him later they come and they talked to John in his ministry and said, he that you bear witness of, said, he's over yonder. And they said, everyone's going to him. And I don't see a hint of jealousy or anything else in John the Baptist. He said, he must increase, I got to decrease. I thank God for that, that there was no jealousy there. But I thought, as we look at that, and I thought about the ills of this world and the trouble we're in, if we could get our neighbors, our loved ones, our family members, if we could get them to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, I may not get there, I don't have time, all that, but you know, he came, he suffered, he bled, he died, he had a short ministry, something like 3 to 3.5 years, much as we know, and now he's ascending unto God, he's there, but I thank God for what he done and what is recorded in the Scripture. When he was there, and there was one of his followers, that he had chosen, and she was there at the tomb. She probably got out earlier than we did this morning. She was there before daylight, and she was looking for him, and they had crucified him, and they had put his body in a tomb. And she was thinking as much as was natural. Oh, you might think that she ought to know. Well, he told her he'd resurrect. They hadn't been that way before. And she was there, but you know what? She was there weeping by the tomb. And when he spoke to her, and she told him she was looking for the body of her master, and said, if you'll tell me where you took it, I'll take it away. And he called her by name, and her eyes were open, and she wanted to embrace him. A lot of people today want to keep a little distance between themselves and the Lord. She wanted to embrace him. He'd cast 7 devils out of her life. She had redeemed us. She was about like some of us. She needed saved in the worst way. And he was able to do it. Able to save to the uttermost. But when he called her by name, and she saw him, and she wanted to embrace him, he said, don't touch me. He said, I haven't yet ascended to my Father. And I didn't want to bring in something new or controversial. I don't know what you feel about it. But I believe he was on his way home to deliver the blood before the Holy of Holies. I believe he was there to take the sacrifice for your sins and mine and for all humanity on all the world and present it before the Father and pay the sin debt for all eternity. I believe he was on the way. And it didn't take long. Shortly after, he was back. But you know, there's no reason my loved ones can't get saved. There's no reason that my neighbors can't get saved. Sin's been paid for.
Amen. Praise
the Lord. That atonement has been made. And I heard about it, I don't know where, a few days ago or sometime, but I'd heard this before. People use this about a person that had been in sin all their life and come down to the very end. And it was just coming right to the very moments, and they was trying to talk to him about salvation. And he made this statement. He said, I've lived this way all my life, and if I'd change, I'd be a hypocrite. Why would somebody worry about facing being called a hypocrite when they's facing eternity? I thought even as I considered it. And I don't think we need to think bad thoughts in that respect. But you and I need to be aware of what hell is. We need to consider it. I thought about my grandsons. And one of them had quite a bit of sickness, and we helped with him, and you know, down there, and his veins was hard to reach, and you know, it was treatable, and they done it. But I went there, and I held him. Tried to help him, and the nurse and the doctors, they was trying to get to his veins and take blood and trying to find it. He had Kawasaki's disease is what he had at that time. But I thought, he squirmed, and he screamed, and he crawled in every way, and they couldn't get it. But I've thought about that and considered today. People that die without God will be screaming and crying worse than that. And I thought about it, my grandsons, those that I've held, I played with, and I tell people, you know, it's like them. I said, you know, we're about the same age. We play good together. But it really worries me that they're unsaved. It worries me that my neighbors is unsaved. And sometimes they seem so complacent. And yet at the same time, sometimes when things happen in their life and their sickness, trouble, seem like they don't hesitate much. And I'm glad they do. But they'll call and ask us to remember somebody in prayer. I appreciate that. But I wish they'd get saved so they could pray for them. We got to keep letting her light shine. Let your light so shine before men, they'd see your good works and glorify your Father. And I thought about this church. I thought and considered it. And I appreciate all that you've done and the way I hear things said about it. You're a good light in this community. And it does touch lives. It affects lives that don't even come here. And it touches them. So we got to keep shining, because it's not about seeing us. It's about seeing Christ in us and glorifying His name. He was delivered. I said a while ago, the scripture says, He was delivered for our offenses. Why would He have to die such a terrible death? Because you and I was in a terrible condition. And only by the blood of Jesus Christ could we be reconciled back to God that gave us. There was no one else. It tells us on over there. They searched, and John on the Isle of Patmos, he wept because they'd searched. And I thought, heard somebody describe it like this. They searched in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and there was no one worthy to loose the seals, open the book. I heard it described like this. Said, you know where he was at? That was when he's on the cross. But John was weeping. He saw people lost and dying without any place to turn. But there was one come by and said, John, don't weep. The lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And he's worthy to loose the seals. And today he's worthy in your life and mine. So let's glorify Him. Let's honor Him. And if we can get the world to look at it, if we can get our family, our neighbors to look at it, if we can get them to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I thank you for that. Ask your brother, whoever's going to take a charge of service, mind the Lord.